Praise the Lord. Twos and threes, fours and fives. You can be dismissed. How blessed we are to have Steve and Diane in our ministry. It really is a huge blessing. I've said to people, ask me when Pastor Brew retired, what are you going to do? And I said, we have a guy in our church that probably could be on a staff of about 90% of the churches in America full time. And so what a thrill that is. Those of you that are familiar with Dan and Sarah, they've moved to a new ministry. This is their second week they start today, actually serving with Craig Christensen and that ministry there at Great Hope. The Merrill team is with them starting today. Their VBS runs this week, and so pray for them. We know I was singing Truth Sluice this morning, thinking about my grandbabies learning that song, and what a privilege that is. Well, we started last week looking at the danger of a lack of discernment as we think about the life of Jacob and his family. And we just briefly touched on the fact that his family and he demonstrated a real lack of discernment in a variety of areas, in their use of women, and I mean to use the word use of women, in lying, in idol worship, in deception and murder. His boys lied intentionally about what they wanted to do with their sister Dinah and then murdered a city. In interpretation of Joseph's dreams, all these things we can see the lack of discernment in their hearts and lives. We talked last week a little bit about the fact that discernment really is about thinking biblically. It's discerning truth from error. How do we determine that, and then how do we stand or not stand on that? And again, today, in a world we're living in, that is becoming an incredible needed thing. It's a skill that's lacking. And the fact is, there are literally thousands of voices out there telling you what is truth. They're telling you a variety of things about truth. They're telling you that truth is your truth, but if it's not my truth, then it doesn't matter. But I want you to know there is God's truth, and either people agree with that or they're wrong. That's the bottom line, okay? And it doesn't matter what politically incorrect statement we can say with that. God's truth is God's truth. Let God be true and every man a liar. And that's important for us to stand. Pastor Sret used to say, the more we stay the same, the more different we become. And that is true today increasingly. Just recently had someone tell us that they're thankful for the preaching of God's word and the truth around here and music and all kinds of things. And they said, sadly, that is not happening in churches today. And Lord willing, we're going to stand on that. I can tell you, it's going to become increasingly unpopular to do so. And it may cost us dearly. I feel certain it will cost our children. I don't see how we can continue down the path we've chosen as a country. So the basics of that. We talked a little bit last week about why discernment, and we talked a little bit about the arguments. There is the idea of polemics. That is where we, for lack of better terms, we attack, if you will. We launch out and say, wait a minute, this is wrong. Paul practiced that in a number of occasions, calling men out who were directly wrong. Now, Paul called out men who were wrong, for instance, when they taught that the resurrection was not true and some of those things. He did not call them out because of his personal preferences, okay? And there's a difference in those things there. And then we talked about the apologetic, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer, a defense, a verbal defense. And we do so how? With meekness and with fear. We do so with a mild disposition, a gentleness of spirit. This is really important. I mentioned this last week, but I want to keep saying it over and over again. The only way we can have a meek spirit, a mild disposition, and be tenacious for the truth is by the Spirit of God. Because otherwise, we're either going to be soft or we're going to be too hard. Only the Spirit of God can give us that incredible balance that we need. And we talked about a warning about discernment, a commitment that we need to make both individually, as a family, and churches to tenaciously pursue discernment. And we talked a little bit about the composure of discernment. How do we handle that? And that statement by John Stott, truth becomes hard if it is not softened by love. Love becomes soft if it's not strengthened by truth. A powerful statement for us. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory filled with what? Grace and truth. That perfect balance of grace and truth. And we see that in our Lord's life so many times. We see it in our own life, the way He's treated us, haven't we? Grace and truth. Wow, what amazing. I love the fact that when He dealt with the woman taken in adultery, that He presented her with grace. But He didn't just present her with grace, because He says, go and sin no more. It wasn't that her sin was okay. What a precious balance that is. So I want us to see number three this morning. And I told you last week this would probably be two-part. It's going to be a three-part. I just know that up front, so I'm not even going to hurry this morning. All right? There's too much material here. But number three, let's look at the working of discernment. In other words, how do we perform discernment? What does it look like when it works out in our life on a day-by-day basis? Okay? Number one, discernment produces separation. Discernment produces separation. Separation is a, if you will, an unpopular term. But the fact is, if I'm going to be discerning, by its very nature, discernment means I judge between truth and error. That means I must separate to truth and from error. That's going to happen. Whether it's popular to separate or not really is not the issue. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 10, to another the working of miracles, the other prophecy, to another the discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. And this is a list of spiritual gifts that He's talking about there. We won't go into all the details of that today, but 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 29, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Now, this word discerning here means a distinguishing, a judging. In other words, he took the Lord's table without judging himself. And as a result, God judged him in the process. The root word of this word discern here simply means to separate or to make a distinction. It literally means to discriminate. Now, again, the concept of discrimination today is got a negative thing, but sometimes we do need to discriminate, to prefer, to decide, to try, to determine, or to give judgment, to decide a dispute. Those are all involved in this idea of discernment. In other words, discernment causes me to draw a line. And as a result of that line, someone's going to be on this side of it and someone's going to be on that side of it. Or some truth, quote unquote, will be on this side and some will be on the other side. And this is sometimes what's difficult about this separation. No matter where you draw the line, someone's going to be just on the other side of it. Okay? No matter where you draw it. I had someone say to me one time, I don't believe any church ought to have any dress standards for church. And I said to them, okay, so you believe that you ought to have no dress standards for church? No, I don't think you ought to have any dress standards for church. Then I presented a scenario to them. And they're like, well, of course we wouldn't let people come to church that way. I said, okay, so you do have standards. It's just different than ours, right? Because you have to draw a line somewhere. And everybody does, by the way. Even the quote-unquote most liberal person in the country draws a line somewhere. It's really interesting how that plays out. The word discriminate simply means to make a clear distinction. Okay? Again, we have the negative connotation there. Acts chapter 11 and verse 2, and Peter was come to Jerusalem. They that were of the circumcision contended with him. That's our same word. They discerned, they judged him. Remember, this is about the process of the fact that he ate with Gentiles. We've been looking through the book of Acts on Wednesday night. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 5, I speak to your shame. It is so that there is not a wise man among you, Question mark? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. No one that can discern between his brethren. Paul's dealing with the church at Corinth that they would take their brother to law. He's like, is there no wise man among you that can work through this? At its root, biblical discernment demands that I separate. Romans chapter 12 and verse 9 says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. There is no other way to do that. That's a separating line. There's a drawing line there. John chapter 7 and verse 24, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Anybody ever heard or had said to you, don't judge me? The Bible says you're not supposed to judge me. Let me just clear this up right now. That is not what the Bible says. Okay, thank you, Pastor. That's not what the Bible says. It does say how we're to judge. In other words, if you are harder on someone else than you are you, you're wrongly judging. Now, you're supposed to look at yourself and say, okay, where is my heart and life like? By the way, whatever you see most glaring in other people's lives is probably what you're weak in. So if you're like, oh, that person, boy, they got a cocky attitude. You probably have a cocky attitude, right? Like, that ought to be the arrow pointing back at you. But it doesn't mean that we're never supposed to judge. Well, you're not supposed to. It's none of your business what's going on here. How are you supposed to look at a fruit tree? Do you discern whether the fruit tree is good fruit or bad fruit? The Bible says a lot about that, okay? So don't let the world taint your view of this. God tells us to do that. We're to have some dividing lines lying. Judge righteous judgment. By the way, this word judge here is the root word for discerning in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 29. Again, it means to separate, to pronounce an opinion concerning right and wrong. In other words, when someone says, you're telling me that such and such is wrong, you can't do that to me. Well, if God's word makes it clear, then yes, I can. In other words, I can tell you for a fact, and I don't have to say so unkindly, but I can tell you for a fact that God is not okay with homosexuality. He makes that abundantly clear. We don't have to be unkind about it. But it's not about whether people quote-unquote love each other. By the way, it's just as wrong for you to be immoral in other things. If you're disdained at the lesbian homosexual crowd and you're viewing pornography on the side, you're just as an abomination as they are. And God views them both the same. By the way, he views lying as an abomination too. We can say unequivocally that God created male and female. That's what he created in this world. That's pretty simple, all right? You're like, you're not supposed to judge me. Actually, yes, I am, because God's word says so. That's really important as we work through this. So if you're not willing to separate, please listen to this. If you're not willing to separate, then you are not discerning. That's the bottom line. You say, Pastor, that's a pretty bold statement. I know that, but it's backed up with Scripture. You must be willing to separate. Now, are there areas in which some of us will separate differently than others? Absolutely. We're not talking about some gray areas there. All right. There certainly are some areas in which some people are like, I cannot do that right there. And other people can say, well, that doesn't bother me at all. Okay, there are some of those areas. But I'm talking about clear things in Scripture. We have to separate from them. So one of the first outworkings, if you will, one of the first performances of this discernment is that discernment produces separation. Are you willing to separate? What cost are you willing to pay for that separation? There will be good people, by the way, who will not understand why you choose to separate. And again, you don't have to be unkind about it, but you do have to tenaciously stand with it and say, I'm sorry, but you can't do that. We've had family members who, on a trip or whatever, wanted to bring alcoholic beverages into my home. That's not going to happen. It's just not, okay? And this is my home. By the way, they're free to do that from an American standpoint. They have the freedom to do that in their own home, but they're not going to do that in my home. And there are other things that play out with that as well as we work through it. So we have to be willing to separate. And sometimes that means you look at someone that you dearly love and say, no, this is not going to happen here. Okay? Number two, or letter B, discernment requires self-scrutiny. Okay? So it's going to require some separation, but it also is going to require some self-scrutiny. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 28. But let a man examine himself, so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. So in the context of that passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, God says that people did not discern the Lord's body, but what did he tell them to do first? Judge themselves. In other words, they should again look at themselves. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 31, a little bit later in that same passage. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. If we would discern about ourselves, then we're not going to be judged. That's the idea. In other words, we need to determine in our life what is right and wrong. Now, do you ever find yourself being easy on you and hard on somebody else until the Holy Spirit of God goes? You parents who have kids in the home, you ever done that with your kids? I've done that before. I've had a kid in the bedroom. I'm thinking of a Bible verse that I can use with them as I get ready to discipline them in some way. And as I'm doing that, the Holy Spirit of God's going, I'm like, right, right, Lord. That is, yeah, that verse really, I need that verse first. That's exactly what needs to happen in my life as well. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove yourselves. That word prove is the same word for discernment. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Galatians 6 and verse 4, let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. So in other words, discernment requires a self-scrutiny. Lord, where am I at? Where am I making excuses for sin? In my own life, in my own home, or whatever else. When you sense wrong, in any situation when you sense wrong, do you first look for that in your life, or do you first look for it in other people's lives? We typically see the sin we struggle with in others' lives. Number three, discernment, the Bible tells us, produces stability. Okay, discernment produces stability. James chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. This idea of wavering, again, is our root word for discernment. It's the negative of it. Don't be that way. Discernment produces where we're not waving back and forth. People can so easily be swayed. Romans 14 and verse 1, him that is weak in the faith receive you, but not to doubtful disputations. Again, same idea of the word discernment there. Don't let that mess with our mind. Now, I'm not saying that we should not dig into Scripture and go, well, I don't understand what that's saying. Can I work through that? But what we're not to do is we're not to jump from one doctrine to another doctrine to another doctrine to another doctrine. We're to be stable. And discernment allows us to do that. Discernment allows us to see truth from error right from the beginning. If you believe that everyone that's preaching on TV is okay, you probably don't have discernment, okay? You can flip the channels every day and get all kinds of things out there, right? Discernment brings stability. The more you apply Scripture in your lives, the more stable you will be. And the question is, are we unstable? Are we easily influenced by the latest fad? I heard someone say one time, I think it's a good statement. They said this way, don't be the first to try anything, but don't be the last. In other words, sometimes we tenaciously cling to something because we've always done it that way, amen, you know. Instead of looking like, hey, maybe this is something that does need to change. We culturally somewhat change all the time. We do. You say, Pastor, I'm uncomfortable with that. Well, you men aren't wearing robes today. It's right. There's lots of good things about that, right? But culturally, that's what everyone used to wear. We're like, well, okay, I'll give you that one. I mean, over 2,000 years, yes, we've changed somewhat culturally. There are other things too. There are things that change with culture. But what discernment does is said, okay, is this a good cultural change or is this an attack against God's word? Right. Because God's word is culturally relevant. All right? In other words, it's for all times. It would be different if only men wrote this book some 2,000 years ago, then maybe it would be outdated. But since men did not write this book, and God did, he knew what this would be like 2,000 years later, and it is very applicable. Hasn't it been amazing to you, just in Ephesians chapter 2 alone, how God has dealt with the race issue as if Paul wrote that passage for America today? That's how the Word of God is, and it continues to be. Amazing. So discernment produces stability. Letter D. Discernment is strenuous. You can figure out I'm using all S's here, so maybe it'll help you a little bit. Discernment is strenuous, all right? Now notice this passage. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 through 14, it says this, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. Paul says, we're having to go back over material that you should have already mastered. If Paul wrote Hebrews, I know some of you are smiling. Brother Kevin's down there smirking. and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. For he is a babe. Now, is it wrong to be a babe if you're a babe? It's not. It's not wrong at all to be that. We had supper with Bobby and Hannah, and therefore we actually had there for three of their kids from Friday afternoon until Saturday afternoon. That's why we look tired today. It's the reason God gave kids that age to young parents. That's why. But anyway, we really did have a great time. But we're eating there. And you know what's interesting? Our one-year-old grandson, it's interesting what people think is cute in them, but would not in you. Right? I mean, you know, this kid can put away some food. I'm talking from the moment he sat down. We met in Cracker Barrel in Spartanburg. From the moment he sat down, his mama started feeding him applesauce and Cheetos, and I'm talking he's putting it down, right? And when he doesn't get any, he's banging on the table, you know, like, hey, everybody, not unkind, he's sweet as he can be, but he's just banging, and his mama fills his mouth some more. Then the biscuits come, we start tearing off biscuits. Then the potatoes come and the gravy come, and I mean, he's eating like crazy, and it's all over him, right? Like, he's having the time of his life. And everybody in the restaurant's just smiling big. I'm watching older couples sitting around the restaurant, and they're just enjoying him. But I doubt if I did that, they would be laughing, right? I don't think they would look at that and go, look at that old guy. He's got food all over his mouth. It's down his shirt. It's, you know, it's like, I don't think they, but it's okay because it's a babe, right? It's okay for a babe to be a babe, but it's not okay when they're supposed to be an adult. And that's what Paul is saying here, right? They're unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised. The word actually means to exercise vigorously, to discern both good and evil. Have you noticed that when you don't use something like a muscle, you lose it? When I was in high school, I tore up my ankle. Matter of fact, I won't do it for you today, but that ankle still snap, crackles, and pops. I mean, and if I don't do it periodically, it stiffens up. I just shredded it. Matter of fact, the doctor said it looked like somebody took a fork to the tendons and ligaments, and I just tore it up really bad. And so I was in a cast, and it was really interesting to me when they finally cut that cast off. my calf muscle was way down low. Like, if you've ever had a cast on your leg, it's not up where it's supposed to be. It's dropped all the way down. And I said, he goes, it's okay. Don't worry about it. You use it a little bit, and that muscle will pop right back into place. But it had not been used, okay? So what's Paul saying here? Okay, when you're fed spiritual food from the pulpit, from a Sunday school class, from your own personal devotions, you have to vigorously use that. And when you do, you will build up spiritual muscles. And as you do, truth and error will become a lot easier for you to recognize, because you have to use it all the time. The more you do, the better off you are. Listen, I've said to a number of men in this room, and they can testify to this. Listen, if you're struggling spiritually, turn off the talk radio and turn on an app on your phone with the Bible. You're like, well, maybe I won't know what's going on in the world. Maybe you'll have a real better idea what's going on in the world. Just read the Bible. And then when you hear error, you'll be like, whoa, that sounds really contrary to God's word. Good. That's good. You're like, I don't have to worry about that. I just listen to conservative talk radio. Right, because every one of them are right down the line with Bible. Some of you aren't laughing. You do know that, don't you? Like, they're not really. I'm joking, right? They're not really down the line with the Bible. Just, it's important. We've got to use it all the time. Use it, use it, use it. It's very important for us to do that. So discernment is strenuous. If we discern, we will not be able to vegetate. But we must keep our minds alert. How do you listen to preaching? I love it when people come to me and say, Pastor, you said X this morning. I don't understand that. Like, what's happening here? Or did you get that out of that text? Or what about this verse? And because that means they're thinking, right? I'm your pastor. I love that job, by the way. I absolutely love it. And I try to be clear to the text of Scripture. But if you sit in this auditorium and vegetate and believe everything I say without practicing discernment, you are wrong. Search the Scriptures daily to see if these things are so, that it matches up with the truth of God's word. Don't become a person that just absorbs in and takes in whatever and don't do anything with it. It's important for us. Letter E. This will be the last one for this morning. Discernment is spiritual. Discernment is spiritual. 1 Corinthians 2, 14 and 15. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth, there's our word again, all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. The word's used three different times here. This spiritually is by the aid of the Holy Spirit of God. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit of God comes within you, and he helps you to determine truth. The word discerned here means to examine or to judge, to investigate, to inquire, to scrutinize, to shift, to sift, to specifically in a forensic sense of a judge to hold an investigation. You're like, wow. Now please hear me. This book is not above being investigated because it can stand up to it. Isn't it interesting that there's probably not been another book, let's take the probably off. There has not been another book in the history of the world that's been more scrutinized than this book. None. No documents have been more scrutinized. I talked to my Sunday school class last week about some things. When you look at ancient documents, and you look at those that they believe are absolutely verifiable on some of the poets and some of those kind of things, and you look at their documents and you have six or seven fragments of parchments and so forth like that, and they're like, oh, we know that Julius Caesar said that because we have five documents. Do you know how many partial or full documents we have of this Word of God? It's numbered in the thousands. 24,000 or something like that. And yet, we don't know if this is the Word of God or not. What other criteria do you need? It's unbelievable how scrutinized it is. This book can stand up to it. By the way, did you know you're not allowed to scrutinize other books of the quote-unquote religion? Muslims aren't allowed to scrutinize their Bible, their Quran. Mormons aren't allowed to scrutinize theirs. Why? Well, it doesn't stand up too well. Now, I'm not saying that we read every text of Scripture with a critical eye, but it's okay to say, now, wait a minute, God. You said, let me cross. I want to look through this because it can handle it. It can handle it. What a precious truth that is. One author says it this way. Scripture makes it plain. If you are not a person who exhibits and exercises discernment, you're not a mature Christian. Another says, only those who are indwelt by the Holy Spirit have the capacity to exercise true discernment. Without the Holy Spirit, without spiritual discernment, Christians would be no better off than unbelievers, for we would stumble blindly in our search for truth, never being able to separate truth from error. Do you allow the Holy Spirit to apply truth to your life in all areas? In the last, even let's just take the last 18 months. How many times have you looked at a news report or watched a video or a news clip or whatever and either thought or said something like, they can't really believe that? Like, they can't really believe that. I'm like, you're like, this is crazy, you know? It's amazing to me how people can say, follow the science, about all kinds of things, by the way. I'm not just talking about the pandemic. When evolution is not science. By the way, neither is creationism. By faith, we believe that God framed the worlds. It's a faith issue. But we do have science. It's called male and female. You can actually look at the science. It's there pretty clearly. And yet we don't do that then. Oh, wait a minute, you know. There's absolutely no truth. So is that an absolute statement or is it not an absolute statement? Because if it's an absolute statement, then that statement's not true. And if it's not an absolute statement, then that statement's not true. Like, right? It's like, do you really listen to what you're saying? What is it? It is a prime example of what the Word of God told us. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And this is important for us. Please don't miss this. We become fools too, by God's definition, when we live our life apart from this book. Whatever that looks like. Whatever little logical jumping through hoops we make for our own life that's contrary to this word, we too have become fools, professing that we are wise. Be careful. Listen, if you think, okay, Pastor, I figured one thing out. This discernment thing is going to take a lot of work. You got that right. It's not something that we're going to be able to relax on. We've got to constantly be in it. Constantly be sharpening ourselves to what God's word says. Right now, there's not a whole lot of rain going on, so we're not doing a whole lot of mowing, at least you're probably not, unless you're watering your yard, which, okay, more power to you. You're paying for the water and then you're mowing the grass too, but okay, whatever. I'm just saying, some of you do that. I'm fine with it. I'm just kidding with you. But you know what's interesting? I have a push mower. For lots of reasons, but that push mower needs things all the time. That thing aggravates me because it just refuses to run without gas. I am constantly putting gas in it, and I'm constantly checking the oil, and I'm constantly checking on the blade, and I'm doing all this stuff. You would think, since I leave it in the garage, a nice cool place for it to park and veg most of the time, that it would work for me when I want it without all this attention, right? We think the same thing. We think that we can not be sharp when it comes to the Word of God, but we have to be all the time. That is what discernment is. It's important for us. Father, thank you for these truths from Scripture. We need them. I need them all the time. Help us, Lord, to apply this discernment as the Holy Spirit of God works in our hearts and lives. In your name we pray.